Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And today we're going to begin a brand new series, and it's simply titled Why. And we're going to just ask a bunch of why questions. And the first question we're going to ask is, why believe in God? Why should we do that? And then there's a bunch of other why questions we're going to answer. And then following this series, I'm going to do another series titled One, coming from Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about there's one body and one spirit, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And so we're going to work through that text as well. I cannot preach a sermon today and then wonder what I'm going to preach next week. I have to know where I'm going. And that's why I put together a series. It's just helpful to know. Next week, I know exactly where I'm going. So I'm not going to waste my time figuring out what I'm going to preach. I know what I'm going to preach. And so that's very helpful. And so today, as we think about the first question, why believe in God? Why believe in God? Well, the psalmist gives us some good reasons why we should believe in God. Just to look at it again, he says, the fool has said in his heart. Now, that word fool, the Hebrew word, is navol. And if you, it's in Hebrew, the letter bet, if it doesn't have a doggish in it, it doesn't have the hard sound, bet, it has the soft sound, vate. It becomes a V sound. So instead of Nabal, it's Naval. But we know this guy in the Old Testament known as Nabal. And he was a fool. And so the psalmist says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Hebrew, Amer, Naval, Belipo, Ein, Elohim. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He says they are corrupt. They've committed abominable deeds. And we're going to talk about that. I believe that faith in God makes more sense than the theories that are advocated by science. Evolution, for example. Big Bang, another example. These are just false ideas that are put forth, I believe, by the devil to confuse people. So why should we believe in God? I'm going to give you three good reasons why you should believe in God. Reason number one, because it is foolish not to believe in God. That's what he says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a very foolish remark for anyone to make. There is no God. And we'll talk about why that's foolish here in just a little bit. But I want to talk about some reasons to believe in God. Back in the 1300s, there was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Aquinas. Maybe you're familiar with him, familiar with some of his writings. He came up with these five arguments for God. And these five arguments have been used ever since. They are really good, strong arguments for belief in God, for the existence of God. And the first reason, the first argument that he gives us is the, we're not going to look at all five, we're going to look at three of the five. But the first one is the cosmological argument. Cosmological argument. The cosmological argument argues from first cause. Behind every effect in the universe, there is a cause. Right? And so, if you get hit in the head with a snowball, there's a, that's the effect. What's the cause? Well, someone threw it and hit you in the head. That's what happened, right? So, so the cosmological argument argues from first cause. And so we have to answer the question, how did this get here? How did it get here? That's the effect. The creation's the effect. What's the cause? That's what we have to answer. And I believe there's only one answer, and the answer is God. There is no other answer. And so think about it. Is a house or a building sufficient evidence of a builder? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Is not the creation evidence of a creator? It's the same thing. No house or building makes itself. And I don't believe this creation made itself either. Scientists will come up with theories like Big Bang. There was a big explosion. That's how it happened. Problem is, you have something that blew up. What caused that? You got to get the cause. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. The creation screams, there's a creator. And that's why in Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. We see God through the creation. That's what the psalmist is saying. How do we see God? We see God through the things He has made. The creation's here and it had to get here somehow, and I don't believe it made itself. And I really believe you only have two options. Either God created it or it made itself somehow. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the creation could have created itself. I don't think that could have happened. That's just not plausible. That doesn't make sense for me. So, things don't come out of nothing. If there's nothing, how do you get creation? I believe the only answer is God. That's the best answer, and that's the reason the psalmist says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a foolish remark, especially when you have the creation screaming at you that God is. Psalm 19:2 says, day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. And so the creation is speaking loudly of the existence of God. And it doesn't matter where you live in the world, it speaks your language. It is multilingual. It speaks all the languages of the earth. And it communicates daily, day in and day out. God is, God is, God is. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, on the day of judgment, you won't have an excuse. You won't be able to say, well, God, I didn't know. Well, God gave us the creation so that we could know. I believe it only makes sense that there was a creator. Things don't make themselves. And that's what you have to believe. If you're an atheist, you have to believe that this made itself. That's a tall task. I don't think it holds up, though. But I think there's a second argument that speaks, I believe, of that God is, and that's the teleological argument, which is the second argument that he gives. The teleological argument argues from design. Design. And so, design is indicative of intelligence. Anytime you see it. For example, you see those chairs. You know those chairs didn't make themselves. How do you know that? The design. The design. Look at it. It clearly was made. It clearly was designed. This pulpit, it was designed. I mean, what if I told you that, hey, I found this growing in the woods the other day, and so I cut it off and brought it here. You wouldn't believe this was growing in the woods. Why? Because there's design here. There's design. We recognize design. When we see design, we recognize it. That's design. When you look at a painting, you know that required a painter. No question about it. Design is indicative of intelligence. There was an intelligent mind over the creation of this world. Design, I think, is heavy evidence for the existence of God. You know, so atheists would say, you know, that there was an explosion called Big Bang. So how do you have order out of Big Bang? How do you have the earth? Right where it is, on a 23-degree axis, spinning 1,000 miles an hour, orbiting the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. We are flying in space. We don't notice it because we're not stopping and starting. If we were stopping and starting, you would notice it. But because it's constant, there's no way to recognize it. There's no way to feel that you're going 66,000 miles like this around the sun. But 1,000 miles an hour like this at the equator and slower as you go to the poles. But nonetheless, the earth on its axis, spinning like it is, orbiting the sun. The moon is the right distance it needs to be from the earth. The sun is the right distance that it needs to be from the earth. Is all that accidental? Is that just accidental? I mean, think about it. There is order here. There's design here. And when you look at it, you have to see it. When you look at the human body, you know, you can look at the digestive system. It's an incredible system. You know, we eat food. It goes in, down the esophagus, into the stomach. It is, the acids eat it up, and nutrients are spread through blood throughout the body, and that which is not necessary is eliminated. It's a system. Think about it. That's an accident? That just happened? Or the circulatory system? You know, the way your blood works throughout your body. The respiratory system. I mean, just all these systems of the body, they're amazing. They're amazing. And I say the design of the human being is so incredible. We are set apart from all the species of the earth. God made us different. We're not animals. Although many of us act like animals, we're not animals. We are beings who were created in God's own image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And so we share His likeness in many ways. I think that's morality. I think that's intelligence. And you think about it. What other species on the earth has the intelligence that the human mind has? I can't think of any. In fact, I know there aren't any. Because if they were, they wouldn't be living in the woods. Right? They'd have a penthouse somewhere in the woods. Because they had the ability and the intellect to build that and to live there. But you know, animals eat off the ground. They eat off the ground. They sleep on the ground. You and I sleep in homes. And I've said many times, I really believe that the hands is just one of the most amazing things that God ever created. Because think about it, all these animals get stuck in fence lines and things, and they're stuck. And they can't get out unless a human comes along and frees them. Because they don't have hands. They can't untangle themselves. And you see all kinds of animals getting all kinds of messes. They get tangled together with their horns sometimes, their antlers. You know, they can't get it undone. And so, it's just amazing that God has created us the way that He has. And I've said before, if we had hooves, we'd be living in the woods. Even though we have the intellect we have, how would we ever do anything with hooves? Now, we're pretty smart, and people would come up with a lot of stuff, I'm sure. But man, what can you do without hands? You think this is a freak of nature? I don't. That's design. That's design. We have been created in the image and likeness of God. And when you see design, you can't look at a human body and say, freak of nature. You just can't. It's too complex. Way, way too complex to say that's just a freak of nature. Think about it. Can life come through rocks and gases? Because we're talking about evolution. If that's the case, somehow or another, rocks and gases and dirt over time became a human. You believe that? I don't believe that. That's just a story I don't buy. Over time, here we are. Can dirt, rocks, and gases produce intelligence? I don't think so. Can dirt, rocks, and gases produce morality? I don't think so. We're the only creature that has morality. None of the animals know morality. They'll kill one another, eat one another, and think nothing of it. They don't know morality. They don't have morality. We have it. I don't think our existence, our intelligence, our morality are just freaks of nature. If you can't look and see design, you're blind. Because there's design. There's design. Amazing design. So, I believe the cosmological argument is very strong. I believe the teleological argument is very strong. There's another argument I want us to look at. And that's the moral argument. The moral argument. So where does our morality come from? We have three options. Option one, it is subhuman. And so in other words, we got that from animals. I don't believe that, and I don't think you believe that. The next option is we determine what's right and wrong, good and evil. We determine what's moral and what's not moral. We humans do that. But I don't think we want to live with the consequences of that. Because what if I don't like your morality? What if I think your morality is no good? Who am I to judge you? Right? If morality comes from humans, I may not like yours. You may not like mine, but how can I judge you? So here's an example. How can you judge Hitler? How can you say what Hitler did was wrong? Who says it was wrong? If we determine right and wrong, then it was right. Because that's what they said was right. For us, it's not right, but for them, it would have been right. See, that's the consequence. I don't think we're willing to live with the consequence that we determine morality. Whose morality is right? Yours? Mine? Someone across the pond? Who determines that? Is there a moral regulator that tells us what we're supposed to do and not do? No, I do not believe morality comes from human beings. So the third option is it's superhuman, and so it comes from outside of us, and it's given to us, and that is, it comes from God. God is the one who decides right and wrong and good and evil. And that makes sense, that God is the one who determines what's right. So you only have three options. Animals, we humans, and I don't know how you figure out who's right, or God. I believe it comes from God. It comes through His Word, and in His Word we know what right is, and we know what wrong is. So, three, I think, strong arguments for God. You can go into great detail on every one of these arguments. Obviously, we cannot do that. So, real quick, reasons against atheism. Just a couple things I want to point out. Number one, it is unnatural and it demands a suppression of the truth. Look in Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You see, man knows what right is. He knows the right course. God's given it to us. There's a certain amount of morality we have, even if without His Word, we know certain things are just wrong. We just know that. Well, Paul says that in order to be an atheist, you have to suppress the truth. And that's what people do. They suppress it. There's the creation screaming that God is, but they love their sin, so they just simply say, oh, God doesn't exist. They suppress the truth. They know it's true, but they suppress it. Because they want to live the way they want to live. They want to do the things that they want to do. And in order to do that, you have to suppress the truth. And so, it demands a suppression of truth. Secondly, it's just intellectual arrogance. To be an atheist, you have to really think about it. You have to be able to say, I have been everywhere in the universe. I've looked everywhere, and there is no God. Well, you haven't been outside the Milky Way. You haven't been off the planet Earth. How are you going to say there's no God? Have you really been out there? That's a tall claim. My goodness, Earth, our galaxy, is just a small little dot in a vast creation of billions and billions of galaxies out there. We're just so small and so minute. And yet you're going to claim from this standpoint that you know everything out there? That's arrogance. That's arrogance. And then number three, it is a negative philosophy that produces nothing positive. It does. It doesn't produce anything positive, and we're going to see here in just a moment how that is. As we look at the second point, and the second point I want you to see today is this. Why believe in God? Because not believing in God leads to a degenerate lifestyle. That's what it leads to. Let's go back to Psalm 14. Listen to the psalmist. This is beginning at verse 2. Verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. These are those who don't believe in God. To see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. They are all gone aside. They have all together become filthy. There is none of them that doeth good. No, not one. Now, turn to Romans chapter 1. You might already be there. If you're there, great. Romans chapter 1. Notice he says, beginning in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they did not know God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Now notice, these are those who suppress the truth of God. And look what happens. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, nor they became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women, notice this, even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lusts one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And so, when you suppress the knowledge of God without God in the picture, man just goes straight downhill. Look at what happened. He engages in all kinds of wickedness. And here he's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism. Men with men and women with women is wrong. God created men and women. And the only relationship that God honors is marriage, not between two men and two women, but between a man and a woman. But this is what happens when you deny God. You become your own God, and you do whatever it is you want to do. The thing with man, he just goes straight downhill without God. He says, even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil. They're not content with what the evil they have. They have to invent new. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but those who approve of those who practice them. That's what happens when you remove God from the picture. Man just goes straight downhill. There's nothing to curb the evil in man. And so he just goes all at it, full force. You see, the knowledge of God restrains evil. Think about it. Knowing that one day you're going to face God. One day you're going to stand before Him. You know that's going to happen. And knowing that's going to happen, you're going to try to live the best possible life that you can, right? Because you know one day you're going to meet Him. And He's going to punish all wrong. Every sin will be punished. And all sin will be punished either at the cross or in hell. And so without God, you don't have any moral guardrails. Without God, we just drive right off the road. That's what happens. God is the one that gives us the guardrails, that keeps us on course. You remove God, the guardrails go away, and man just flies off the road. That's what happens. So, here's the reality. You would not want to live in a world where everyone didn't believe in God. I can assure you that's true. Can you imagine a world where there's no God? Imagine where we humans would be. If God hadn't been there all along to kind of tamp back evil in the world, where would mankind be today? What didn't take them long from creation to Noah's day before the whole world went bad? Imagine, given all this time, where the world would be today, where there is no God. I've often likened it to where, an illustration, think about a prison. And you think about a block and you think about all the cells. Imagine, those are your neighbors. Those are your neighbors. Yeah, Johnny that murdered his family. Jimmy over here that molested, 100 children. Or, this guy who, choked his wife to death. These are your neighbors. Can you imagine? And that's all you would have. You wouldn't have a good neighbor because there wouldn't be any. Just you and that crowd. Can you imagine living in a world like that? That would be rough. That's what you get when you remove God. I wanted to say, there's no doubt about it that what you believe determines how you live. So think about that. What you believe determines how you live. Belief determines behavior. You live the way you live because of what you believe. If you didn't believe in God, you would live a different way than you're living today. Right? You would live the non-believer's life. Number three, why should we believe in God? Because one day you will meet Him. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Bible says that one day you are going to stand before God in judgment. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to die and God's going to resurrect your body. And you're going to stand before Him and you're going to give account of your whole life. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready at this moment to stand before God? Imagine. I just imagine it must be a terrible shock for someone to just pass from this life to the next, knowing, I've been a fool. I didn't believe in God. Let me just say, I don't believe that there are any, well, there aren't many intellectual atheists. I believe that most of them are atheists for moral reasons. They want to live a certain way. And belief in God hampers that. Belief in God gets in the way of that. And so it's just easy for me to say, oh, there ain't no God. There ain't no God, so I can just do this because there's no God. I don't think there are very, very few what I call intellectual. They really thought all of this through and they came to the conclusion that there is no God. Well, I know I don't want to be a fool. I know I don't want to die and pass from this life into the next and straight before the judgment seat of God Almighty. Because that's what's going to happen. Revelation chapter 21 verses 7 and 8 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then over in John chapter 8, verse 24, very important verse. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is He? Messiah. Savior. Do you believe that? And have you responded to Him? Have you obeyed the gospel? Well, if you haven't, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And we're going to invite you to come forward. Let's be reminded what the psalmist says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Hopefully, you're not in that category. But if you are, I hope maybe today something that was said maybe make you think about where you stand and maybe make you think about, I need to make a change. And maybe there are some in here that need to rededicate their life to the Lord. They are just, you know, mediocre, as Bill talked about in class this morning. And that's not a place we want to be. We want to be on fire for God doing His will at all times. And so, whatever your need is this morning, make it known as we stand and sing.